Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Welcome to it. Beautiful. My goodness, this is just a gorgeous Friday morning out there right now. I mean, this is where we get spoiled here in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to differentiate sometimes beautiful sunrises, beautiful sunsets, but this one right now, what I'm looking at?
Yeah.
I can't imagine it being any better.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's pretty nice where I'm sitting, too.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. And by the way, it's only a matter of time before my front sprinklers go off and I can see them through my study window.
And you'll just stare at them.
Yeah.
Lovingly.
I'll stare at them and I'll loudly sip my coffee so all can hear.
Because people love that.
Yes, they love it when I'm drinking coffee, yeah. Watching my sprinklers go. You know, I mean, that's when you'll ask me a question and I'll answer something that's completely...
Right.
It has nothing to do with what you just asked me.
Just tell you're not paying attention.
Right. I'm just completely not paying because I'm just watching the... Because the sun is obviously rises in the east. And where the sun is right now out my window, it is just... Like, just if 2 o'clock right there is where the sun is. And then when the sprinklers hit a certain, you know, it almost makes that little rainbow because of the mist.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it's going to happen here very shortly. And it's going to be glorious. And I'm going to sit here and watch it and make insane comments that don't have anything to do with what we're talking about because I'm just not paying attention.
Although, would that really be out of the norm?
No, I do that when I don't know, when I'm in studio,
right?
And I'm actually supposed to be paying attention.
All right, let's get to it.
Yeah.
It isn't just me Friday where we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest heading off into the weekend, unburden yourself, stuff that you've picked up on during the course of the week that you've listened to, read, watched, heard, whatever, and you just want to get it off your chest. Just give it to us on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. And give it to us in the form of, is it just me? And it can be about the world of sports and beyond. So here's one to start it off. This must be from a Chiefs fan. Is it just me or Bronco fans who think that the contract won't get done with Patrick Mahomes are foolish? Remember, this isn't John Elway getting the deal done. Ooh.
Ooh, snap.
Ooh, snap. Ouch.
Yeah.
Chief fan.
Yeah.
Kitty's got claws.
Yeah, Chief fan. You know, I liked them. I liked G-Fans so much better when they were September darlings.
I know, isn't it?
They were just, they're so cute.
Now
they were adorable.
Swagger. Now they got swagger.
I know.
And they got something to back it up with now.
I'm telling you what.
Before they used to have this, fake toughness, fake swagger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you were just always like, ha, look at this guy.
Yeah.
Fake tough guy, right?
Yeah, they just come out there with we're good. You know, you'd be like, oh, gosh, here we go, little guy. Now they've got actual stuff to back it up with. And you're right, Chief fan. I mean, you know, look at what one guy has done to the division. Honestly. Right? I mean, one guy has completely changed the way the division approaches football. Whereas, you know, for years, now, it didn't work. And I think it was misguided to some degree, but for years in the AFC East, it was all about, we got to load up on defense. We got to find a way to get after, you know, Tom Brady. We got to do this, that, and the other. Like right now in the AFC West, it's all about, man, we got to find weapons. We've got to find speed. We got to match Kansas City speed, speed for speed. We got to get involved in a track meet. We got to, like, that's how this whole division thinks now. Which is, it's remarkable. Like one guy, one dude has changed the way organizations draft just to try to match him point for point.
And that's after only 2 years as a starter in this league.
Right.
Now, he's won a Super Bowl. He's won an MVP. He's won a Super Bowl MVP. Mm-hmm. But there are plenty of quarterbacks out there that have won a Super Bowl.
Right.
There are plenty of quarterbacks that have won an MVP. But I don't know. Can you recall how many times as a football analyst, and you've been doing this for about 17, 18 years as a football analyst, can you recall an entire division completely selling out and not afraid to admit that everything we're doing is because of this guy and that team?
Well, I don't know that I've ever actually seen it. Most teams will combat like that side of the ball. So the defensive side of the ball, they'll say, hey, we got to go after, you know, guys that are disruptive on the line of scrimmage to combat Tom Brady or to combat Aaron Rodgers, right? But I haven't seen complete divisions or complete teams change their philosophical approach to football in general, just to, like, the Minnesota Vikings still going to run the ball, right? They're still running it. They're still doing what they do as an offense. They didn't sell out to say, hey, we got to match, you know, Aaron Rodgers or whatever. Now, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the speed and you know, that the Kansas City Chiefs offense does, but I don't know that I've ever seen anybody like a whole division. Well, I've never seen, let me just make this a stronger statement. I've never seen an entire division sell out and change their philosophical approach to football to match what the dominant team in the division is doing. I mean, think about it.
And admitting it.
Right.
And saying that team by name. No, you're right. I can't. It's always been implied with a lot of divisions, but you're right. I can't, like, you know, I mean, Pittsburgh and Baltimore have been going back and forth in their division. Have they ever really changed fundamentally who they are? You know, they have with Lamar Jackson.
Right, but that wasn't to match what the Steelers are doing. That was just changing fundamentally because football, you know, football wasn't and isn't ready to defend it. It's a different, and because they had they had one of the most unique athletes on the planet.
I mean, the Rams had their bust out with McVay, and yet Seattle didn't change what they were. Mm-hmm. San Francisco had already embarked on that path of building through drafting studs along the defensive line and things like that. It wasn't like they just all of a sudden switched for the Rams.
Right.
So, no, you're right. I can't think of another instance in recent memory where an entire division unapologetically has come out and said, yep, this is what we're all about. Playing keep up with the Chiefs and keep up with Mahomes.
Right.
Which,
I will say this about the Raiders, though. The Raiders traditionally, and I had this conversation last year with Mike Mayock, who's their general manager. Mike Mayock's father was an offensive line coach, you know, before he became, a DB and an NFL DB. He played for 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it was. And then, you know, got into television and scouting and all that kind of stuff. So Mike Mayock is an inside out guy. I mean, he built that offensive line. He went and got Brown from New England. You know, he got Richie Incognito out of retirement, out of issues, they had gotten Rodney Hudson before he got there, their center out of Kansas City, who was a all pro for the Chiefs. They drafted Gabe Jackson. They drafted the left tackle kid, you know, and they spent the majority of their draft picks on the defensive line last year. Like this year, they went after speed, the wide receiver position, which they tried to get in Antonio Brown last year, and then, you know, he went off the deep end. So the Raiders are a little bit unique in that, but Henry Ruggs was the fastest dude in football, and that's who they decided to go. And it does feel like that's a response to the Kansas City Chiefs. But certainly here in Denver, I mean, John Elway and the staff basically said, you know, we got to find a way to keep up scoring with the Chiefs.
Couple of quick texts. Is it just me or Chief fans, just glorified Charger fans that have had a couple of lucky years? No. Come on. Chief fans are a little bit more committed, more loyal, I mean, Charger fan. Good luck. You know, my wife's from San Diego. I've been to San Diego a lot over the last 20 years, and sometimes it's hard to find Charger fans in San Diego.
Right.
So.
It's better, yeah, because they all migrated up to L.A. All six of them.
Mike and Parker, isn't that adorable? KC fan is finally relevant again. So cute, they puff out their chests. Hashtag suck it. Okay. Is it just me? Friday rolls on. And is it just me, or is Major League Baseball fast approaching the point where if they don't play, no one will care? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans here. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options, such as zero money down or 0% financing for 84 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar has over 1,800 new and used cars on site and at sthmotors.com. And number three, location. Siltahar is right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, and they will deliver any vehicle to your home for a test drive or after purchase. Visit sthmotors.com and get everything you want out of a dealership.
All right, a lot of good hot takes coming in. This is Just Me Friday. Four Down Territory coming up here at 7:30. What Matt LaFleur says the Packers need more of. I wonder what Millennial Ben will come up with for a soundbite for Four Down Territory and a Matt LaFleur story. Is it just me, or if Major League Baseball doesn't play, they can just not come back at all? Let's take a look at the calendar here.
Okay.
And let's keep something in mind. And I'm just speaking from the Denver viewpoint here.
Okay.
If football starts on time, and by that I mean if the Broncos start up a training camp end of July.
Right.
Then you know what we are. We're in the football window. Mm-hmm. And what's always been the joke around here about the Rockies is that the Rockies have existed for one reason and one reason and only, and that is to bridge the gap between the end of the Avalanche and Nuggets playoff runs and the start of the Broncos season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Major League Baseball doesn't get their act together and get out and start playing, you get to August 1st and football camps are opening up. Pro and college, guess what? Baseball is out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
So this bickering that just looks more and more unseemly every single day that passes between these two sides. And at this point, you know, a pox on both houses. But the longer they wait, the longer it really does become, don't bother. Don't bother. And I know you love baseball, I love baseball, but if this is the way it's going to be, and this is what's fueling these two sides instead of the reality of what's happening in this country, then you know what? Just go away. Just go away. Who needs you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I for one am a believer that if they don't get playing here, and I mean sooner rather than later, if things aren't, you know, if they're not in training camp and they're not, you know, they're not starting to play, you know, sometime early July, Mike. Like, if they wait until training camp opens up, you know, before they finally get their act together and they don't start playing until August, and then it becomes, instead of an 82-game season, it becomes even shorter, then I agree with you. Then, hey, man, let's wait till spring training. And then what happens with the fan bases? What happens with baseball in general? Hey, we understand you guys couldn't come to an agreement and everybody, it's, you know, clean slate and let's move on? Or do people hold a grudge? Now, I believe people will come back, spring training, hope springs eternal. You know, you always love that, the baseball season, all that kind of stuff. But, there certainly will be some long-term repercussions. I'd have to believe, from fan bases around America that are just disgusted that these two couldn't come to some type of an agreement.
And the same thing goes with the NHL and NBA. I've enjoyed, like everybody else has this week, being able to get the fresh news about the proposal for the NHL playoffs, now getting some details about what's being discussed at the NBA level, about what the playoffs could look like, and all these plans, right? These wonderful plans. But as I said the other day, while NHL people were patting themselves on the back about, look at us, we're out there first with a plan, left unsaid was when this plan is going to actually start. There's no start date on this plan.
Right.
And it's time to get going here, because if, like, for example, Adrian Dater, our NHL insider, texted out last night, he's hearing that NHL games may not start until the middle of August.
Right.
And at that point, again, at what point do you, for the NBA and NHL, reach the point of no return? Of why bother trying to somehow salvage this season? You're better off to just scrap it, call it for what it is, you know, a once-in-a-century type thing, and just get on with the business of getting back on a normal schedule for next year. Because if you don't start the resumption of the NHL and NBA until August, Mark, the last time the Avalanche and Nuggets played was, I believe, March 13th. So April, May, it's been 2.5 months now. If you're not playing until August, you're talking about a gap that is longer than the time that exists between the end of an NBA or NHL season and the startup of their next season. For training camps and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to take this kind of gap? I mean, it's one thing to have a 3 or 4 month gap and then say, yeah, we're starting up training camps or our regular our long regular season. It's quite another to have a 3 or 4 month gap between playing and then saying, okay, here we go. Jump right into the playoffs. Let's crown a champion. At what point does it, it's just not real?
Yeah,
it's a complete sham.
It'll always be real. At least to me, it'll always be real. But at some point, I mean, you got to start, right? I mean, we're so starved for it, and I do know this. You know, the NFL has done what the NFL does, which is, you know, trudging forward, stomping on people that are in their way, and there is an insatiable appetite for the sport in this country, and this sport has only, like, I feel like the appetite for this sport is greater than it's ever been, simply because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in and the fact that nothing else is going on. And so, to me, just from a pure economic standpoint, if you want to salvage whatever you can salvage, but put yourself in good standing for the next year, like, it's imperative that you come back and start to play. That's just my gut telling
you. If you're going to talk about the NHL, for example, and let's say Adrian Dater's right, and it's not going to start up until August, the Avalanche typically start their training camp in early September.
Right.
So if you're talking about not being able to even start up the season again until late July, August, just call off the dogs and let's just start this thing fresh in September with training camps and then start the regular season and go from there. Because at some point, all you're doing is you're just trying to somehow salvage a season that if you wait too much longer, it's just not worth it. And all you're going to end up doing is just further impact the season or the seasons that are going to be following after this.
Yeah, the following seasons. There comes a point of diminishing returns. There comes a point where, and I don't know what that point is, Mike, but I do feel like it's approaching quickly.
Yeah. Hey, August? That was a kick in the onions when I heard that possibility. Look, my thought throughout all this was they're ramping up so that they're playing by July 1. All the sports.
Right.
July 1. And if it's going to start dragging longer than that,
right,
especially in the case of the NBA and NHL, then what's the point?
Yeah.
Four Down Territory, coming up next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have, I'm not saying I haven't.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
Williams, the running back to the left of Mahomes. Now they bring Tyreek Hill in motion with them. They fake to him. Throw right side. Cut by Williams at the right pylon. Touchdown! Kansas City! Andy Reid dials up a brilliant play.
Chiefs radio right there. The Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes reportedly set to begin contract talks. I think I speak for everybody in Denver and 30 other NFL cities, is this going to become as contentious as the Dak Dallas Cowboy contract talks?
I mean, absolutely not. What are you going to get? Hey, man, everybody's just waiting for this to happen. You're going to make him the highest paid guy in the history of the league, more guaranteed money than anybody's ever had. I mean, that's like, it shouldn't be. Like, you think about it, once you started having the talks, it shouldn't be that difficult, right?
I think the only issue here is how much guaranteed money does he get in terms of establishing the new bar? Like if Kirk Cousins established something new and he got a fully guaranteed 3-year, $84 million contract from the Vikings, to what level does this go? Is it 5 years, $175 million guaranteed? Is it 5 years, you know, $200 million? Is it 10 years, $400 million? You know, something like that. I think that's the thing to watch.
Yeah, I think you're going to talk somewhere upwards. Well, $40 million a year for 5 years. Right, that's $200 million. Is all $200 million guaranteed? Is that where we're at right now? Or, like you said, is of that $200 million, $175 of it? I mean, if Kirk Cousins is worth $84 million fully guaranteed, then certainly, you know, certainly $175, certainly $184 million should be completely guaranteed. He's worth $100 million more than Kirk Cousins.
Next in Four Down Territory.
Second down.
Jackson out of the shotgun. Walks the throw. Blitz pressure coming. Jackson hit. Lob to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown, Mark Andrews! Ad-lib to perfection from Jackson to Andrews. And the Ravens converts in the final minute of the opening half.
Ravens radio, John Harbaugh, when asked if Lamar Jackson will throw the ball more this season, said he doesn't think we're going to become more of a conventional offense. Do you get any sense that the NFL is catching up with what the Ravens were doing last year? Will they continue to remain unconventional?
Yeah, they will continue to remain unconventional. Do I think they're catching up? Absolutely not.
Still the playoffs.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, obviously that happened. Listen, the Ravens are not built to play from behind. They are not built to come back throwing the football. That's not what Lamar Jackson's strong suit is. And so, yeah, if they get behind like that, like they'll lose a football game. They are built both offensively and defensively. One of the things that is impressive about the Baltimore Ravens is they have matched their offensive philosophy with their defensive philosophy. And so they are this perfect union. Now, you know, when all of a sudden they don't produce points and they don't eat up the clock and they don't run the football and they don't do the things that they have normally done, and you have to say, hey, Lamar Jackson, go throw us back into this game, you're in trouble. That's not how they're built.
Next in Four Down Territory.
Third down.
I definitely think I'm the best. I know I'm the best. You know, Mike, my boy, I love Mike, who was chasing yesterday, but he know if I had Drew Brees my whole career, what these numbers would be. Julio Jones know if I had Matt Ryan my whole career. That's my boy. I trained with Julio, too. He know what these numbers would be, so.
DeAndre Hopkins thinks he's the best receiver in the NFL. I guess that can be debated.
Yeah.
But what can't be debated is right there. That comment is why you don't overinvest in wide receivers and why the importance of wide receivers is greatly exaggerated.
Did you hear him talking about wins? Did you hear him talking about championships?
No.
No, he's talking about his numbers.
Yeah.
He's talking about what his numbers would be. And that's ultimately what these guys think about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something the Broncos better think about here moving forward over this year and next year, because you got a lot of mouths to feed. You got a lot of guys who are going to be looking for that second contract. Hello, Cortland Sutton. Or guys who are going to want to be able to put themselves in a position to get that second contract. Judy, Fant,
mm-hmm.
Hamler. They know that the big contracts come with numbers. They're going to want their touches. They're going to want their targets. Again, Pat Shurmur, good luck. It's a good problem to have. But, man, you're on the hot seat. You got a lot of mouths to feed. A lot of egos to satisfy.
Interesting. Those three top receivers he just mentioned. Himself, right?
Yep.
Mike Williams, right?
And Mike Thomas.
And the Saints, obviously. And then Julio Jones, right?
Yeah.
How many world championships they have collectively?
That'd be zero.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Actually, did Thomas win one with the Saints, or was that
no?
That was
no.
That? Okay, that was before.
Yeah, it was way before he was there. That was 2009, Mike.
Was it really? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he was just drafted a few years
ago. God, Breeze's been there forever. I just figured the championship wasn't that long ago.
Right.
Yeah, no, you're right.
2009.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down. Cram it up your cram hole, floor.
So predictable, but so perfect.
Never gets old, though.
So perfect.
Never gets old.
Matt LaFleur. LaFleur? LaFleur?
Yeah.
LaFleur? LaFleur?
LaFleur? Yeah, LaFleur?
Matt LaFleur, can I invite you back to my casbah?
Yeah, I don't even know what we're talking about.
LaFleur.
LaFleur.
Anyway, Matt LaFleur says the Green Bay Packers need more, quote, explosive plays this season. Well, I don't know. If you think that you need more explosive plays on offense, might at some point you might want to draft a offensive skill position player or two. They took Jordan Love in the first round. They took a running back in the second round. They already have good running backs.
Mm-hmm.
They finally took a tight end in the third round. And that was it when it comes to skill position players.
Aaron Rodgers has thrown exactly one touchdown over the course of his career, which is like 15 years, one touchdown to another player that was drafted in the first round. That was Mercedes Lewis. One. That is mind-numbing to me. One. Unbelievable. Now, I will say this, you know, the guy who was, now LaFleur was on the staff with, you know, with, Sean McVay and with Kyle Shanahan and all those guys. Kyle Shanahan creates a lot of big plays without household names at the wide receiver position or guys that were drafted in the first round. Like Mostert is not a first rounder. George Kittle's not a first rounder. I mean, you know, Emmanuel Sanders isn't a first rounder. Richie James ain't a first rounder. I don't know that Marquise Goodwin. Was he a first rounder? I don't think he was. So I'm like, there's ways to create, you know, big play, but you've got to be willing to, you know, you've got to be willing to run the ball, have great play action set up off that stuff, where you can gut people and you can get nice matchups. But some of that is not just we don't have enough weapons. Some of that is, hey, that's on you as a coach to design those things.
Evans, I think you were thinking of Pierre Thomas from that last Saints Super Bowl team.
Pierre Thomas.
I think you're right. Pierre Thomas did win a Super Bowl, right?
Running back.
I think I had my Thomases mixed up. Okay, there you go. Mark's sipping on that coffee,
yeah,
man.
It's Pierre
now,
Thomas.
Now,
Pepe
now
Le...
I hear oh. it. Now you, I hear
oh, now, now
I
you're,
never
you've become
heard
aware.
It. I you, never heard it until people until, started talking about how
oh
they hear you
God.
Slurping your coffee, and now I hear it.
Well,
now
you know
what?
Like
well,
you're just now you're just we're just gonna have to get used to it, Mike. I'm a coffee sipper.
Yeah, you're not gonna change.
No. You know that I'm always gonna have coffee.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. We bring Troy Rink to you, and hopefully some sanity. Some optimism? I mean, come on. He knows what really goes on in baseball. They're going to work this out, right? Troy joins us next.
All right, let's welcome in our Denver 7 insider, Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, Troy Rank. He is presented by Tranny Law. Got a lot of ground to cover with you, Troy. Let's start with this whole baseball impasse between the owners and the players. Let's try to remove some of the emotion out of it and you know, try to remove what's going on in this country and all the emotion that goes along towards baseball because of that. Can you see both sides' case in all of this? Can you see the owner's case in this? Can you see the player's case in all of this? And which one, in your opinion, makes the most sense?
Yeah, I mean, listen, in context with everything that's going on in our country, this is, you know, this is first world problems. But in context with this specifically, I side more with the players than the owners on this. You know, the owners, it's their business. They take on the risk of owning the business, but they get the, when you have the equity in the business, you get the profits, and they don't necessarily share in all those profits with the players. As part of his business owner, when you take loss, you're going to take more of the losses. They're asking the players essentially to take a 70% pay cut. They already agreed to prorated salaries in March, and now they've come back to him and want a more, a steeper pay cut. And that's where the rub is it the job of the players to continue to take the financial hit and take the health risk? So, again, it's unfortunate that it's playing out in public. It feels like, again, on my side, that the owner's side continues to be leaked out to make the players the fall guy. I don't believe that's fair. Now, I'm not saying owners aren't hurting. I'm not saying that. But it's been a billion-dollar industry making profits for several consecutive years. And now they're taking a huge loss. Well, as an owner of a business, you have to take a huge loss as well. You can't keep asking your most valuable asset, the players, to take that loss. Because if people think that you're going to just throw out anybody but major leaguers and people are going to go watch that, I'm telling you that's not the case. This idea that, well, major league players are replaceable. There's only, what, 1,300 in the world? Well, they've played with scab players before. It doesn't work. The model doesn't work if it's not played by the at the highest level. So I tend to side with the players here on this, but I do think these gaps eventually common sense will prevail and they'll be able to bridge this. But it's gotten ugly. There's no way around it.
Well, where do you feel the general fan is? Because I'm with you. I side with the players. I know earlier in the week most people were anti-player on this because it's come right out of the, you know, the handbook. As Mike said, page one of the owner's handbook, make the players look like selfish pigs and eventually they'll fold. But I feel like there's almost a shift where the general public is really, I think, supporting more and more. I feel like they're supporting the players. Where do you see the general public falling on this side of owners versus players?
I mean, I think they're more open-minded to it, but if there, for some reason, is not a season, the players will be the ones who get the bulk of the blame, not the owners. The owners, in so many ways, are faceless. You know, and that's kind of by design, but if there's no season, or if this thing takes forever to take off, the players are the ones people know. They will take the blame. That's just the nature of it. And the owners know this. I mean, they know that. They keep saying, well, we tried to do it in good faith. They said, no, well, look, guess we're not going to have a season. People aren't going to, you know, eventually turn on the ones they know, which is the players. But I think people are keeping an open mind, Mark. It's just, this is playing out like a traditional CBA negotiation, not a negotiation that should be done in a vacuum to get them back on the field this year. That's my issue with it. They're trying to solve bigger issues in these negotiations that don't need to be part of that. Just figure out a way within, in a vacuum talk, get us back on the field, both financially fair and our safe and our safety. And that's the issue for me. If I can't trust you with your finances, you won't give us any of your data, open your books as to why we should take a steeper cut. Why should I trust you with my safety? Like, that's the issue some of the players are addressing. It's like, but again, I do think at some point they're going to step back and go, okay, hold on. What are we doing here? Hockey's going to start. Basketball's going to start. Football's going to start. And we're the sport of the summer and we're not playing? Wow. I mean, wow. That would be catastrophic for baseball.
As we look ahead to what life is going to look like after this is all over, these minor league baseball cuts, what do you think the future is of minor league baseball?
Well, it's unfortunate. They've been pushing for this for a number of years to contract number of teams, whether that ends up being 40 teams, you know, in multiple leagues.
Major League issue, they have legitimate points on some of it on the developmental model, which is, you know, is this the best way to develop our prospects to win at the major league level? And so when you invest millions in a handful of guys, what is the best way to develop them to impact the major league level? And to send them sometimes to a short season team for a couple of years in rush facilities and maybe lacking coaching, is that the best way to get somebody to the big leagues? I mean, that's a fair argument. I understand that. What's unfortunate is it seems like they're using this pandemic as a way to usher this in to say, well, let's eliminate and contract 40 teams, because that's what they're clearly on path to do. And minor league baseball is vital in many communities in ways that if you haven't lived in those cities, it's hard to understand. You know, some of them aren't great. I get that. But there's a lot of these communities that's a huge summer activity. It's affordable entertainment. There's host families. They are a fabric of the community. And I think some of that gets lost, and that's unfortunate. Again, in Colorado Springs, that Pioneer League, it could go away. I think Colorado Springs is more well-positioned than others to get a AA or AAA team again because of their stadium. But it is unfortunate. There are issues with the developmental system. I'm not saying that. But to just crush 40 teams or more right off, that's unfortunate for those players and certainly for those communities.
Not to get too deep in the woods, Troy, but what's the alternative? Like, what would be a better way to develop baseball players other than letting them play baseball in the minors? Like, what would be a different alternative to that?
Well, you just have a more controlled environment at their spring training, Mark, where, you know, most of these teams have 5 to 8 fields. You would just have your top prospects on those fields with your coaching and your trainers under your eye, your training staff at your spring training complex, state-of-the-art everything. I mean, that would be more of the way, is you just eliminate, you know, my traditional minor league games for some of them and just play in controlled environment under your eyes at your spring training complex. I mean, that's what they would – I'm not saying they would do that, but that would be the alternative. It's just more like you're developing them in a kind of a practice setting to get them to like a double A where you then trust those people to finish off their development. So again, I'm not saying that's ideal, but that would allow them to be more hands-on with their guys at their facility.
Vizier Troy Rank, last one for me, Troy. You know the grip that pro football has, certainly here in Colorado and in other cities around the country. If football is looking at a on-schedule start, let's say they're starting up their camps by the end of July, at what point does the NBA, the NHL, maybe even Major League Baseball run the risk that if they don't get started here pretty soon, they might as well not even start at all?
Yeah, I mean, there's some timing issues involved here. The one advantage they would have, and again, I cover the NFL almost exclusively. I still do other sports, certainly, but, you know, the bulk of my time is spent covering the NFL. So let's make sure I'm clear on that. But the reality is that any kind of playoff hockey, any kind of NBA playoffs, and a baseball regular season would be maybe in trouble, but playoffs are going to always go over preseason football. I mean, we love football. We love that it's back. And then when they play the first preseason game, we're like, oh my God, when are they going to start the regular season? This is awful. So they would still have, once football starts, roughly a month, because the regular season isn't scheduled to start till September 14th, I believe, that Thursday. So they'd still have a window, but it's just, we know this, it's not ideal if you're another sport to be going head to head with the NFL. That's just not a great ratings thing for you. I mean, it just isn't. Now, what that looks like with fans and the quality of play, we don't know all those, but the one that could be hurt is baseball, because then you're returning late and you're playing regular season games on a Tuesday night or whatever. Is that going to carry weight when you had this vacuum, this window to be the only show in town? Now, if you've got football training camp, you've got NBA playoffs, and you've got NHL playoffs, I mean, good luck. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, baseball's got to step back and realize what they're walking into here if they don't get something done soon.
Well, I hope they do. I hope they get it done soon. I hope cooler heads prevail. Troy, thanks, man. We really appreciate you, buddy.
You got it. See you.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. He is presented by Tranny Law. We got question mark coming up in just a couple of minutes. Of course, Is It Just Me Friday, so you got some stuff you want to get off of your chest. Tends to get really loose on a Friday during the 8 o'clock hour, so.
It was really loose in the 6 o'clock hour.
It was, yes.
On a Friday.
We kind of regained some
traction?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Some equilibrium, but There's always the potential for the show to go off the rails in the 8 o'clock hour on a Friday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's probably going to happen. I mean, it just is, what it is.
Oh, you're going to love this one. Is it just me or the owner represents our beloved franchises and the players come and go?
Oh, I know that's how a lot of fans look at it. Right? I mean,
on the front of the jersey, not the one on the back.
Yeah, you root for the laundry. And yeah, and I get that. I understand that way. So, I mean, it's always easy. Like, we're used to driving by the gated community and seeing the big giant houses and going, wow, like, wouldn't it be something to live on top of that, you know, mountain in that gated community or whatever, right? There's a certain fantasy aspect to that, and we're used to that. The players are tangible. You can touch the players, right? You see the players. I mean, if you happen to be walking down the street and you bump into, you know, Charlie Blackman, you're going to know what Charlie Blackman looks like, right? If he and Dick Monfort are walking side by side, the odds are you're not going to know who Dick Monfort is. But you're going to know Charlie Blackman. We're just used to being able to touch those guys. We understand that. And those guys are going to always take the brunt of it, I think. But I do feel a little bit like it's shifting a little bit toward the owners need to, you know, the owners need to figure out a way to get this done.
Really?
I do. Yeah, I do. I saw a couple
of
polls.
Hold on. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.